Well, good morning, or maybe it's good afternoon or good evening, whenever you're able to listen to this. I hope you're all doing well, and here we are, or maybe I should say here we are not, because we're not meeting as a church congregation for the second Sunday in a row, and I miss you. It's no fun preaching to an empty auditorium. And I know you miss being here as well, but that's just the way it is for now. And it's just been a really difficult time for all of us. And we were taking it a week at a time. In other words, each week we were going to look at whether we can start meeting again on the following Sunday. But as of Friday, as of just this past Friday, the McPherson County Health Department, the McPherson officials, gave all of us in McPherson County a stay-at-home order for the next 30 days. In other words, there are to be no gatherings of 10 or more people in any assembly. And there are a lot of exemptions to this. Liquor stores are exempt, for example. We kind of wonder about that. But this time, churches are not exempt. So it sounds to me like we cannot meet as a church again for 30 days, or at least until April 26. Now, according to McPherson County, and looking up McPherson County website and newspaper, this could be rescinded sooner, or it could be extended longer. Now, I'm really disappointed to hear this, but I understand. And I understand our leaders have difficult decisions to make, whether I like them or not, and we just need to pray for them. And I, like you, am just really starting to miss getting together each week or biweekly to fellowship together. I miss the fellowship. I miss seeing you all. But I pray that we'll all take advantage of this time of isolation to pray more and to trust more, and to love our God more, and to minister to others more. And we can do that. We can go visit them, keep your 6-foot distance, but we can call them, we can write, and above all, we can pray. And I pray that this will give us a greater appreciation for the church, our local body of believers, and how important our assembling together on the Lord's Day really is. Now, in regard to this virus pandemic, or sometimes coronavirus or COVID-19, sometimes the news sounds good, or at least better, in that the numbers of people getting the coronavirus is leveling off, and they're finding some promise in medicines that may bring healing, and the vast majority of people who get the virus survive. In fact, some hardly know they have it, and on and on and on. So I get a little encouraged, and I think maybe we're getting through the worst of this, and we're going to come out of this sooner rather than later. And then the next day, we get bombarded with bad news, that this can rapidly spread, and the number of infections is doubling and tripling and quadrupling rapidly, and that the hospitals and hard-hit regions are at capacity and overflowing, and millions could contract this disease, and thousands upon thousands could die. Or maybe we could all die. And if that weren't bad enough, we can go through it all again next year. I pray not, but I guess that could happen. And then there's the economy. Our president offers us some hope that we can get things going again by Easter, at least in some pockets of the country. But at the same time, we hear others shutting all but essential businesses down, as they've done in McPherson County. Restaurants are closing, and so many other businesses, and the fear is that many of them will have to close their doors for good. The unemployment rate will go up to 30% or higher. The stock market is still way down, and people's retirement funds and savings are taking a big hit. And so what are we going to do? People are nervous. They're panicky. They're fearful, or at least unsettled, if not very, very anxious about the future. And it's easy for us as Christians to be feeling the same way. I know it is for me. Maybe I'm one of the only ones in our church, but I get to feeling that way until I catch myself saying, Terry, don't go that route. And you and I can become fearful and panicky and worried. But you know what? The Bible commands us to not be fearful, panicky, and worried. Philippians 4 says, don't worry about anything. If you have your Bible, or you can grab a Bible and look up Philippians 4, I'll give you just a minute. Philippians 4, wonderful passage to turn to when in a time of fear and worry and anxiety, and time we're in now. And Philippians 4 says, don't worry about anything. And I'm going to read Philippians 4, verse 4. Very familiar passage, and it should be. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Wow, rejoice. Let your moderation or your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, the Lord is near, and the Lord is coming. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Or don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. We need to add that always. Thanksgiving. Even in a time like this, giving thanks to the Lord. Let your requests be made known unto God, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. And again I say, rejoice. And I say, really? Really? And he says, yes, really. And it's up to me. God invites you and me to rejoice in any and every circumstance. And I can choose joy. It's a choice that I make. I can choose fear, I can choose anxiety, I can choose worry and panic, or I can choose joy. It's my choice. It's possible. Joy is possible and available. So God says, be anxious for nothing. That word nothing means no thing. Worry about no thing. We pray instead, but in everything by prayer and supplication. It's prayer, not panic. Prayer with thanksgiving. Even in a time of crisis, I can give thanks, for I know the one whose eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And then we read, the peace of God that passes all understanding. These are given to me by God's grace. And what an opportunity to put our faith to work. Work your faith. And to experience the peace and calm and joy that can only come to the child of God whose virus of sin, the worst virus of all, is forgiven and done away completely in Christ. It's nailed to his cross. The vaccine of the blood of Christ is available to all who come to him and trust him. And we say we trust him, and then what do? We go live in fear and stress and worry and anxiety. And we say, I can't help it. But you know, that is not appropriate for the believer. Well, look at 2 Chronicles. If you can find that, turn back in your Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. And we read about King Jehoshaphat. And King Jehoshaphat, if there ever was someone who had a reason to worry, it was King Jehoshaphat. And indeed, we read that he feared in verse 1. And we see that the enemies of Judah, the Moabites and the Ammonites, came up against Jehoshaphat to battle. Verse 2 of 2 Chronicles 20 says that they were a great multitude. I dare say that Jehoshaphat and his army were greatly outnumbered. They may have vastly outnumbered the army of Judah. In verse 3, we read, Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He feared, but then he followed. He feared the the enemy army, but also I believe he had a fear of God. And he gave that fear to God in trust. And then look at verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah that came to seek the Lord. They had their focus in the right place. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. And then look at verse 6. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? And the implied answer is, yes, yes, yes. He is the God of heaven. He does rule over all. And in his hand is power and might, that none can withstand him. In every situation, God is all-powerful. Verse 7, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name. And if when evil come upon us as a sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and we cry unto thee in our affliction, and then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, and they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. And then verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Don't you love that? How many times am I in that situation? Lord, I don't know what to do. And that's when I can, like Jehoshaphat, cry out, but my eyes are upon you. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, Levi, and the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And that was true then. That is just as true today. For our God is the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can't go against this multitude of viruses. But our God will go before us. And he will give us peace. And the battle is not mine and yours, but his. In verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Here they are in a time of war, a time of battle, and they're on their knees and on their faces, and they're worshiping the Lord. That's where we need to be, worshiping him, not just as church, but in our homes and in our hearts. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And then they sang and they praised. In verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon. And in other words, they began to destroy one another. In verse 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly destroy and slay them. And when they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Wow, what power and what wisdom and might and blessing from the God of Jehoshaphat, who is our God as well. They were told just to stand still and see. Stand still, Jehoshaphat, and just watch what God is going to do. They must trust, not in their own strength, but in God. And look at where we are as a nation. We have no might against this enemy, this unseen enemy, as we often hear it called by President Trump. We are fighting and fighting and fighting this enemy, and we should be. We're trying to do all that we can. But could it be that we also ought to pause and stand still and see? They didn't just sit back and do nothing, but they began to sing and to praise the Lord. The king and all his people fell before the Lord, and they worshiped the Lord, verse 18. What an opportunity for us, for you and me, during this time when no one seems to really know what to do. It seems that way sometimes in this nation. We think that if we hire enough doctors, we can beat this back. If we just have enough masks, we can win this war. If we just find a vaccine, we can overcome this virus. If we can just throw a few $1 trillion at it, we'll solve the problem. If we just shut down all the restaurants and all the businesses, then they'll take care of it. What happened to our looking to Jesus? What happened to trusting in him, praying to him? Let's learn to stand still and see. We may not be able to do that as a nation, but as a church, we can. As a people of God, we can. We don't stand still long enough, and we're not earnest enough to see God. We're too busy. We're too stressed. We have too much to do. We don't have time. Well, I wonder if God isn't putting us in this lockdown, in this shelter-in-your-home situation, so that we finally had time. Isn't it fascinating? Families are together now in their homes. Maybe they've never experienced that before. And now we have time to spend alone with God, time alone with the family. Let's take advantage of this time. We read in Psalm 46, if you want to turn there, Psalm 46, and verses 9, 10, and 11, we read, verse 9, Psalm 46, He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. And then he adds this, Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still. The Lord of hosts, he's on the throne. He's our refuge. He's with us. Be still. That literally has the idea, cease from warlike activity and acknowledge God's supremacy. Stop your warlike activity. Stop running here and there and going crazy. And acknowledge that God is God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. It also means sink. Like just sink down. Sink down in your chair. Sink down in the cushion of God's love. Relax. Be still means sink. Relax. Sit down and wait in patience, you believers. Recognize that God is God. Adore him. Worship him. Know him. But we'll never know him until we begin to contemplate him, meditate upon him, think on him and on his glorious attributes of holiness and righteousness and goodness and mercy and grace and knowledge and love. Wait on him. Listen to him. Just sit before him and listen to him. Come to him with your arms outstretched and your hand wide open and look for his blessing and favor and he will give it. See if he won't pour you out a blessing. He waits to be sought after. He longs to bless you. He loves you. Oh, how he loves you and me. He says in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness I have drawn you. God does that for me? Yes. Yes. We're also told in Ephesians 3, I'm just going to read it, Ephesians 3, 17 to 21, we're told to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. God wants us to know the love which is unknowable, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. God fills heaven and earth. How in the world can I be filled with all the fullness of God? But he says it's possible. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout ages, world without end. Amen. What a blessing to know the love of Christ, and he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. In other words, we're living in days of blessing. This is the most wonderful time to be alive. In this time of coronavirus that causes us to look up and to pray and to seek him and to worship him and to bless him and know his blessing and to know his love. If there is any time we need to experience the love and power and joy and thrill of knowing Christ, now is the time. If not now, when? I just want to say, he loves you. He loves and loves and loves. And I really wonder if God doesn't love you too much. You ever think about that? I think he does. I think he loves me too much. He overloves you and me. Say, is that possible? Well, he loves you with an everlasting love. We can't even comprehend that. What is that? And he says he'll fill us with the fullness of God. What is that? And the love of Christ passes knowledge. You know, it's just too much. We can't take it in. It's almost like we can say, he loves me too much. We read in Psalm 94, I'm going to just share a few other verses. Psalm 94, 18. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Or another way to translate mercy is steadfast love. When my foot slips, thy steadfast love, O Lord, holds me up. And then verse 19 of Psalm 94, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Do you have a multitude of thoughts within you today? I sure do at times. And so we can say, in the multitude of my anxious thoughts within me, God's comforts delight my soul. So right in the midst of our worries, our anxiety, and our panicking, God brings comfort and peace and joy. So in this time of unrest, of turmoil, and even panic, let's be found in him, resting in him, dwelling in him, waiting for him. Let's just be still. Jesus said to the wind and the waves in Mark 4:39, when the disciples were being flooded with the waves and their boat were going down, Jesus said, peace, be still, or peace, be silent. Hush, quiet, is what he said. And all that we might hush before him. We need to learn to stop tossing like the troubled sea and rest in him and experience his calm. Even in this time of turmoil and uncertainty, remember, all is perfect certainty in the Lord. Everything is going as planned. It's going just as planned with him. He's not bothered at all by this. This didn't catch him off guard. So we could cast our burden upon the Lord, because he's not worried about this. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Rest in the Lord. wait patiently for him. We sing that song, Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out thy greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou hast made me whole. And it also says, simply trusting thee, Lord Jesus, I behold thee as thou art, and thy love so pure and changeless satisfies my heart, satisfies its deepest longings, meets, supplies its every need, compass me round with blessings, thine is love indeed. Psalm 31, 14, but I trusted in thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy sake. I like that. My times are in thy hand. In other words, my times, the period of life in which I live, my situation, my circumstances are in God's hands. Well, you know, we've been told to stay at home, to shelter in our homes. Well, that may be good and right and helpful. I don't like it. And I'm going to sneak out once in a while. But you know, our true shelter is in the Lord. In the Lord. He is a shelter in the time of storm. He is a rock in a weary land. We read in Psalm 27:5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. In the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle. That word secret can be translated shelter. In the shelter of his tabernacle. In his covering, his hiding place. In the secrecy of his tabernacle. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me on high upon a rock. We read in Psalm 91, 1, and this is the last passage I'll share. Psalm 91, 1 to 4. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Let's look up, because our redemption draws near. He is coming soon. Let's watch and pray and work and serve and love and trust. Let's not panic. Let's not be discouraged. Let's rejoice and pray. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our president. They need wisdom. They need wisdom from God. Pray for our healthcare workers and those in the medical field. They're our heroes. They're doing such a great job, and they're sacrificing so much. So pray for the protection of our healthcare workers and for God's blessing upon them. And pray for one another. Encourage one another, call one another, go see one another, but take your tape measure and have 6 feet sticking out there, but keep that safe space and go say hi to someone and thank you for your prayers. Thank you for serving the Lord. And thanks for praying for me and my wife. We're praying for you and pray God's blessing upon you. Thanks so much for listening today.